about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Warning. What you are about to witness are stunts performed by experienced professionals. Do not try this at home.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I like warm pee. It's comforting. First time I drank my urine, I didn't throw up. And it wasn't horrible. So I thought, you know what? I can do this.
I hope your master, the devil, does take you soon. I want you to meet him real soon. And the day you die, I'm going to praise God.
And once again, the puppet will become the puppet master.
And now,
I think maybe what the people who like me like about me is the fact that I really believe in myself and what I do.
Our feature presentation.
I don't understand what any of those people are saying.
Lana Del Rey likes Lana Del Rey.
Ah.
That's what we learned about that.
Yeah.
That's what people like about her, is that she likes her. Hey, party people. Welcome in to another Kevin and Bean show, this time for Thursday.
What's happening?
What's happening is my new best friend in the world, Michael Nash, is in the news.
I don't know Michael.
I didn't either until I read this story. Mr. Nash was having some little bit of surgery done on the unit.
Okay.
He was having some penile implants put in, or maybe just one. I don't know why you would need more than one. So probably I'll just say one.
All right.
And also was getting circumcised at the same time.
Wow.
Ask me how old he was.
How old was he?
Or is 59.
Oh.
Really?
At 59, you go in for the penile implant surgery and the circumcision, right?
He met a lady.
Yes, that's what it sounds like.
Sure did.
Well, the reason he's in the news for this surgery is because he is now suing the federal government after a Veterans Administration nurse allegedly left the ice packs on his penis for too long, and he got frostbite.
Oh,
his penis? His attorney says that the nurse packed ice on the man's penis for 19 hours. It basically caused frostbite.
19 hours?
Which eventually caused gangrene.
No, don't even say
it. In addition to robbing someone of their manhood, now they've robbed him of the simple ability to urinate.
No.
Oh.
God, no.
That is not the outcome he was hoping for.
So now what?
Now, well,
does he have a bag?
I don't
something?
Know. I don't know what he's got, but I mean,
aww,
if he can't urinate, that to me sounds like instead of
that implant is for naught.
Yes, yes,
oh,
exactly.
God.
So you're cold, rabbit.
It sounds like he had visions of lots of sexy time with lots of ladies when
yes.
he went in for the procedure, and instead he came out essentially crippled from the waist down.
Oh, my
God. That seems bad.
It's about the most blatant medical malpractice error one could make, said his attorney. It's a senseless tragedy that never should have happened, and but I would not wish this on my first worst enemy.
Here's my question. You're not supposed to really ice anything. Really, 10 minutes, 15 minutes is what you're supposed to ice with before you take it back off. Didn't somebody think at 5 hours, six
yes.
hours, 8 hours,
yeah,
10
how
hours?
How long was
hey,
he
icing? Things are starting to hurt down there.
And by the way, it had to hurt.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he take the ice off?
Right.
I mean, he's awake, obviously, for most of that time after the surgery. I would think he would go, this is not feeling good,
right,
and let's give that a rest a little bit. And if there's swelling and I need to put the ice back on later, I can, but let's let it breathe.
Or
let's let it breathe.
Or you can call someone and ask them that,
yes,
too. I mean, you can call a nurse and say, hey, this hurts. Or, hey, it's been 10 hours since you put ice on me.
Right.
Some people are really intimidated by medical stuff, and they just think, oh, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I guess so.
I guess. But when it comes down to that.
All right. Let me ask you guys this question.
Sometimes you got to take your medical care into your own hands.
So to speak.
You know what I mean?
Let me ask you this. And we only know what is in this article. But $10 million, is that asking too much, or is that a reasonable payout?
Well.
Considering what he went in for.
Size of the hospital? I mean, is it a...
Well, it's the Veterans Administration.
Oh, yeah.
It's the government.
I think that's reasonable.
It's our money, but go ahead.
give him the $10 million.
I think so.
Who's 59, A, going in to get circumcised, and B, going in for a penile implant at 50? I mean, I guess...
Because his new girlfriend went,
yes,
ew.
That's what it was. That's what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
She
yeah,
said,
right.
ew. Well, that's the power of ew
yes.
from a girl.
Yes. Is that I will cut off a piece of my penis
wow.
as a grown-ass man.
And lose it. I'm willing to go through that.
And you know what? She broke up with him.
Yep. He no longer has that little lady to worry about, does
she's
he?
She's gone.
Nor will he have any other lady.
Good
I'd say
times.
That's worth $10 million. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Have a blast.
Thank you, crazy lady. Dr. Drew will be on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Dwarf Awareness Month, I believe.
I had no idea it was Dwarf Awareness Month, but thank God we've already done our part having Brad Williams
that's
in
true.
Yesterday.
That's right. We're on top of it.
I feel like we've already done everything we're required to do.
The writer-director of Looper, Rian Johnson, will be on the show today.
Did you go see that, Bean?
Yes, I took the kids, King of Mexico and Chip, and we went to see Looper yesterday.
And
I liked it very much.
Bean has many questions that never occurred to me. So we're going to see if we can tiptoe around them without giving away too much.
But okay. Having said that, apparently Kevin understood the movie more than I did because he had no questions. And I think what he thought is right.
Yes!
I think. But all of us were debating a lot of the things it had. It's a very twisty movie. It's got a lot going on.
Okay.
But, Bean, sometimes you have to use the power that God gave you in your brain.
I understand. Yes.
And I do that on a regular basis, and I think you should try as well.
And here's why I'm excited about talking to Mr. Johnson, is this is a wholly original idea that he came up with. I mean, this is not based on a comic book or something like that. This is a new movie that he came up with the whole concept for and the whole world that it inhabits and his rules for time travel, and he wrote it, and it's awesome, and it's got a great cast, and it well deserves all the love it's getting at the box office.
Great.
Speaking of things that are awesome and a great cast, we're going to talk to Stephen Yeun today, who is Glenn on The Walking Dead. Which comes back a week from Sunday?
Correct.
I cannot wait. We have him in the studio today. We are going to talk about spoiler rules. What are the rules for spoiling things? Because there are a lot of people who get upset at Twitter. They get upset at Facebook.
I've given up.
Given up.
It's probably smart.
And not having something spoiled.
In other words, really?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, if you work here.
Well, yeah, if you work here.
We kind of try, but you know, after a while you go, just say it. It doesn't matter.
I'm going to watch it anyway. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. It is harder to work at a place like this where you talk about things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're going to talk to Nicole, who works here, and she was very, very upset about Sons of Anarchy, which she had spoiled for her on Facebook.
Oh.
And she believes we asked her yesterday, and she said, "Oh, I'll be glad to tell you about the rules of spoiling." And we said, "Oh, we don't need you to tell us; we'll tell you." So I'm not sure how that's going to go, but we're going to talk to her about that. I don't know what comedians in cars getting coffee is. Really?
You'll enjoy hearing about it.
That sounds odd, but that's coming up today as well. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next on the World Famous K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 6.
It's a band that hates each other right there. Can't stand the sight of one another. Don't
true.
Ever even want to be in the same room.
That's a lie. It's a lie.
I heard.
That's a lie.
I heard.
What you're going to say is a lie.
How dare you? I heard that Dave Grohl tried to kill Taylor Hawkins.
That is a
I
lie.
Heard that he grabbed him around the throat They're and threw him around.
Best
and then,
friends, they just need a break.
And then shot his family. I heard
tired.
All of that.
None of that happened. Zero.
Hey, Ralph Garman is, quote unquote, sick. Coincidentally, when I'm in studio.
Well,
the 2 days that I'm here.
That
I'm
not is interesting.
The rest of us aren't feeling well either, by the way. If it's another day, we're going home.
So we're going to take a look at the showbiz news. Everybody, move away from Kevin. I'm
Why?
About to say something that's going to make him explode.
Oh.
And in a good way.
All right.
No.
If I were to say to you, Kevin, you have the ultimate power in the world.
Yes.
To get any band you want back together. A band that is broken up can
broken
get back
up.
Together. You get to choose. You make it happen. You point, you say.
Are they making new music now and they haven't made it in a long time?
I'm not sure I understand what the question is. I'm saying there's a band that has broken up that has not made an album in forever.
Right.
And you have the power to make them get back together and make new music. Who do you choose?
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah!
Timmy C was leaving a cafe in Malibu yesterday when TMZ got to him and said, "Hey, what's going on with Rage? Anything new in the works?" And he said, according to TMZ.com, in a very coy way, like he really wanted to tell us something but couldn't, Tim replied, "Maybe, maybe."
Oh, what a dream.
The band, of course, broke
Please
up
God.
In 2000 when Zach left the band. Then the other guys went on and were part of Audio Slave with Chris Cornell. But
Kevin broke him up.
I didn't.
Kevin did break up Rage Against the Machine. That's a good point,
we
Lisa.
Know that.
Thank you.
I did not do
Wouldn't
that.
It be awesome, though, if now he has
People
a chance to get them back
yeah,
together?
Yeah, but you're never allowed to talk to
do
him.
Do I get credit for them getting back together, though? Because if I broke them up, I'm getting them back together.
If it happens, no. Sure, why not? Imagine how popular that would be.
Oh, that would be so good.
I mean, at some point to me, and I know you love them and see them at every opportunity, at some point to me, it's awkward that they are an oldies band at this point, that their last album came out in 2000, and even that was a covers album. So they haven't had new Rage songs in even longer than that.
Agreed, but I still love
you
watching
love them.
Yeah. Watching them play the old stuff.
But how much would you love it if they had a new record?
Much. Oh, that would be so good.
So Rage Against the Machine.
Please.
I mean, who knows what, you know, look, Timmy's crazy. So who knows?
He's a little crazy.
You should see this picture of him. He's got teeth missing now. I mean, the guy is just, he's a jackass.
He doesn't really take care of himself when he's not on the road. Aww. He doesn't.
We love him, and we hope there's something to this. We hope he really did have something he wanted to say and didn't, and that it's all true.
Please, please, please. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' divorce may have shocked the world, but apparently they have been separated a lot longer than people knew, since February. The National Enquirer's got their hands on some court papers, and they claim that the marital relationship had, quote, broken down irretrievably for a period of at least 6 months.
Wow.
Before they officially separated.
Well, maybe he was off doing movies. He was never home, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it does seem like they orchestrated photo opportunities at red carpets and things like that, so they did at least get together and appear civil with one another.
But for 6 months.
Yeah.
That's usually the case if you look at a marriage that falls apart
but
from
that
the time they separate.
But that he wasn't shocked when she said, I want a divorce.
Right.
Which is the story we've all heard.
Yeah, of course.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why would he want to play the victim like that?
Huh.
That's not very manly.
Public sentiment? Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think anyone blames her for divorcing him.
No.
Oh, no, yeah, not at all. I just think anybody who's completely floored isn't paying attention when that happens.
Let me ask you guys this question. Tom Cruise is single now. What percentage of our single female listeners, knowing everything they know about Tom Cruise, would date him right now if they could?
80%.
I was going to say about that.
I would say so. They go in with their eyes open, but it would be high.
Isn't that interesting to think, though, that every single one of them is going, Tom Cruise is a freak. Oh, wait, I can have some?
Yeah. Yep.
I can live that life? I'm in.
All right, I'll do it. I think I would do it.
Hey, it'd be a lot of fun.
That's right.
I'll tell you that. Speaking of relationships that confound me.
Except for the whole cult thing. Back to you.
Rihanna and Chris Brown.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're back together, but they're being spotted all over the place. It's 2 days in a row now they're together. Now there's a photo of them at the Jay-Z concert in Brooklyn this week.
Yeah.
Just out. What?
That is nuts.
I mean,
that's not good.
I have a lot of feelings about this. If they get back together.
Yes. Yes.
I think they got back together.
They might be back together.
It sounds like one of those things that's been going on in the press is sort of just getting a whiff of it.
Exactly.
For a long time, I think.
Look, there's no excuse ever to hit a woman, and Chris Brown is a bad person. Half of me says, but that doesn't mean he can't change, and that doesn't mean it'll ever happen again. But if it does, can Rihanna really complain at that point?
Yes.
Yes, she can complain because she got hit and that's wrong, but she 100% walked into oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
After previously being hit by a car.
You know,
that happens a lot.
I just know personally, like, I had one incident with someone that was semi-violent, and that was that. Like, no looking back.
Like, that was 100% deal-breaker.
Yeah, done.
But what was done to Rihanna was worse.
So much worse.
Yeah.
It was crazy worse.
So, Kevin, you know a lot about this topic based on the charity that you run.
What
is the psychology of, I'm going to go back to the one person in the world that beat me so bad I ended up in a hospital?
She loves him, and she can't help herself. She just can't stay away from him, and it could possibly happen again. And let's face it, Chris Brown didn't really ever say he's sorry.
No, he did not take responsibility for that at all.
He tried half-heartedly.
Yeah.
He went in the press half-heartedly. He's like, oh, if I hurt anyone by doing anything, that one of those apologies, and that's BS.
And he was also, hey, anyone who's hating on me for what happened, you're an asshole.
Right.
Right? I mean, he was also, like, really angry.
All the signs are there that he's the same guy.
Exactly, yeah.
So I hate to see her go.
I hate to see that, too, because, you know what? There are plenty of us that would date you, Rihanna, and not ever hit you.
That's true.
Plenty of us.
But you wouldn't enjoy us, but you'd be safe. There's a new booze. I'm excited about this one. According to orange.co.uk,
oh, thank God,
a German company, G Spirits, has released a line of hard liquor that has been, quote, poured down the chest of glamour models and then bottled.
Come on.
So they pour it down. They pour it down a glamour model's breast.
How sad are men that they're going to buy this?
And then they bottle it. It's about $170 per bottle.
Right, but it touched a woman's boobies.
Yes.
So it's worth it.
So they just have some supermodel laying on a plank with like a big bathtub below her, and they pour this stuff
over her.
That sounds sanitary.
I'm saying, though, they need to put the model on the label because I want to know if I'm getting Kim Kardashian vodka
right.
or I'm getting Snooki vodka.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's true.
I need to know the specific boobs before
exactly.
I spend $170 on some vodka.
That's how lame guys are, by the way, that there are
lame,
guys
this
who
is awesome.
Come on.
And let me do one more. This is a show called The Insider that's on. It's one of the lower echelons of those primetime adjacent entertainment shows. They are going to rename the show at the beginning of the year, according to Broadcasting and Cable Magazine. And I'm not joking about this. The new name for The Insider is OMG! Exclamation point, now. OMG!
Oh, they're so hip.
Now.
They're so with it.
Come on. Right?
What did you hear last night on OMG Now? Oh, my God. OMG Now had the best story. I can't imagine saying that.
Why don't they just name it LOL?
Apparently, Yahoo and CBS Digital are in negotiations for a deal that would rename the show after an existing Yahoo-owned gossip site. So apparently, it's already a popular site online, OMG Now.
I know OMG was. I didn't know OMG Now was.
So that's the website. So now that's what the TV show.
Doesn't this feel like if they were going to do it, they would have done it 5 years ago?
Yes. I would be embarrassed, no matter how good the show is, to watch a show called OMG! Exclamation point now.
Or to host a show. Are they having the same host?
I don't even know who's on it. Yeah. I hope Psycho Mike gets that job, though. I hope he has to host OMG. And why is it not OMG! Exclamation point now! Exclamation point. Why do they lose enthusiasm at the end of the show title?
That's a good question.
They're like, oh, this is lame. But just when it comes out of their mouth, they realize it's lame.
Today's celebrity birthday is Academy Award-winning actress Susan Sarandon, who's so good in everything she does.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Although she needs a breast lift. She's 66 years
old today. She needs a body lift. She's melting. She's falling to the floor.
By the way, you know what she's awesome in, Kevin, that you still haven't seen is The Arbitrage, the Richard Gere movie.
I have not seen that.
She plays his wife in that movie, and she's amazing, and he's amazing, and that's a great movie that's a little bit under the radar right now that is totally worth checking out.
You know what else she's awesome in? Her daughter.
Yes, she's way awesome in her daughter.
Leave her boobs alone. Just go to her daughter.
Agreed.
Academy Award-winning actor Christoph Waltz, who, of course, slayed us in Inglourious Basterds a few years ago, Water for Elephants, other films. He's 56 years old today. He's one of the stars of the next Django Unchained, the next Quentin Tarantino movie that comes out as well. Russell Simmons, of course, from Def Jam, is 55 years old today. Former Laker forward A.C. Green turns 49. Liv Schreiber is 45 today. Actress Alicia Silverstone is 36. Rachel Lee Cook, celebrating her 33rd today. Justin Williams from the Kings.
From Kevin. Who?
From the Los Angeles Kings?
From who?
It was a sport called hockey.
From who?
Used to be played back in the day.
From the Stanley Cup champion winning Los
Angeles
Justin Kings?
Yes, Justin Williams. Yes, exactly. That guy.
Please.
Good thing that he got to win before the league disbanded. And Jared Weaver of the Anaheim Angels is also 30 today.
If hockey never comes back, do the Kings have the cup forever?
Yes, they do.
All right.
Yes, they do. Right. And that's your show business. Remember how funny it was when Kevin thought that Kevining was going to go away? Remember? He thought, oh, this will last a day, maybe a weekend.
I thought a day at the longest. I didn't think anyone
Kevining would care. Is going to outlast democracy, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, for folks who haven't heard about it, you can go to kevinamine.com and you can see the gallery there. Describe how Kevining began, Kevin, for folks who maybe haven't heard.
I took a bunch of pictures. They did a photo shoot for ArcLight Theaters, which I love and still love.
Mm-hmm.
Even after how they did you?
Yeah, because really, it's funny. I mean, the comedy in me likes it. I did a bunch of pictures. They sent three over for my approval. So I said, okay, but this one is horrible. Don't ever use this one. Any other picture you want to use, but not this one. And cut to, beep, there's that one, gigantic, on the wall there. And I just looked at it and just hung my head and just... And then I started chuckling. I was like, what are the chances? Of course this is going to happen. They're going to pick that one. I still go there. I still love them. But it was a little painful because I look like a tard. So, I really do.
So listeners have started emulating Kevin's look, which is, you know, staring off into space and his hands in a completely unnatural position. Imagine you, dear listener, the worst photo you ever took. A, it gets blown up and put in a high profile place. And B, hundreds of people start emulating your position in that photo.
Even famous people.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Lisa. I'm looking at the new gallery. Here's Lister Darren, Kevining 200 feet up, climbing a tower in Nevada.
Wow.
Here's Lister Jordan, Manly Beach in Australia. Here's Lister Victor with the Chick Hearn statue at Staples Center.
Go to kevinandbean.com.
Lister Joseph at Wrigley Field. Here's Phil Kogan, the host of The Amazing Race, doing some Kevining.
Hell.
Here's another Lister with Greg Proops, also Kevining, at a Proop show.
Great.
Here's Okinawa, Japan. And here's one just added to the gallery. Listener Billy's Kevining Contemporary Art. Now, this is breakthrough territory here, okay? Because we've seen the photos. Now we have art.
It's a sculpture.
It's a beautiful sculpture.
Well, it's not beautiful.
It looks like something you see in a museum. And we got this email from listener Beth who says, my son and I thought we could help take Kevining to a higher art form, so we created a sculpture. And Beth joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Beth.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for thinking of us. Tell us about this statue.
Well, I was listening a few weeks ago, and you were talking about it, and I looked it up, and I thought it was hilarious. And Ralph said something about wanting to start a gallery beyond all the photos.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's easy, because I'm an art teacher. So I talked to my son about it and showed him the photos, and he just suggested we do a project that I've been doing with my students, and he kind of took it from there and made it happen.
Why are my legs so skinny? It's almost like a stick figure.
It's based on a Giacometti sculpture.
Well, you don't have to tell
me. Well, obviously.
It's my favorite artist or sculptor, whatever it is he does.
What's it made of?
It's made out of styrofoam, foil, wire, paper towels, paint.
I feel like I have seen statues that look like this one before. Is this Giacometti guy? Is he famous? Does he have statues in museums and whatnot?
Oh, yeah, all over the world.
Stupid. No, don't ask stupid questions about art.
And how long did it take you and Billy to make it?
On and off, because we worked on it a little bit here, a little bit there for a couple weeks. Altogether, maybe a few hours.
Right. And how tall is it? It's tough to tell what the scale is of it in the photo up in the Kevin and Gallery.
With the base, it's about, I'd say, 19 inches.
That's about right. Right, Kevin?
Thank you, Bean.
It's so awesome. I can't believe what a great job you guys did. How old is little Billy?
He's not so little. He's as tall as me, but he's 12.
He's 12. And he was into this. He got the comedy of making fun of the sad man, right?
He loves you guys. He was so all over it.
Hey, great.
Beth, you should not be letting your 12-year-old son listen to this program. Don't you know he will now grow up to objectify women?
Really good learning, because then I can teach him about.
How about some parenting going on over there?
Yeah, this is what Beth
does. A little
does.
Less sculpting, a little more parenting.
Beth is in the camp of, all right, Billy, do you hear what those guys said on the radio? Don't do that.
Exactly.
Don't be
opposite
them.
Way. All right, listen, here's the deal. We love this. Not only is it in the gallery, you offered to donate it to us.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And we want
what
to,
would we do with
we
it?
We are going to display it. We may take this on a mall tour.
Come on now.
I think we take this statue everywhere we go. When you come to Miss Double D, when you come to Acoustic Christmas, there's the Kevining statue. I think
I
it's
love
our,
it.
Our new mascot.
I hope something doesn't happen to it that's bad.
Lisa May would like to come by and pick it up because
I
you're
am.
In you're in Burbank, right?
Yeah,
I live in the Valley. I'll come get it.
I'd love that. And I have something for Lisa May, too.
I have
really?
Something for Lisa
yes.
May.
I want what she different. Wants. I don't yeah. want what you have. Yeah.
What do you have for Lisa May, Beth?
I make earrings, and I made her a little pair of Dia de los Muertos earrings. Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome.
You're the best listener ever,
yeah,
Beth.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Give a shout-out to your school. Where do you teach?
I teach at John Burroughs.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic. I know where that is. Yeah. And thank you to Little Billy, too. We really appreciate
Stop
you guys.
Stop saying Little Billy.
He's Little Billy to me.
He's 12.
We really appreciate you guys. No. Doing
you know the
all...
difference between a 3-year-old and a 12-year-old?
We appreciate you guys doing all the hard work and reaching out to us, all right?
Oh, no problem. You guys are awesome.
All thanks, right, Beth. Thank have
you.
A great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks.
Can we hear the Kevining song, please?
No, look
yes.
at the time.
Oh, the Kevining
no.
song.
Hey, boys and girls. Have you heard about the new sensation that's sweeping the nation? It's called Kevining, and I'm going to show you how. Well, first you have to think like a Kevin. Think like IQ minus 11. You're Kevining. You're Kevining.
Duh.
You're Kevining. You're Kevining. Then you have to get a stupid goofy face and make sure you stare into outer space. You're Kevining. You're Kevining.
Duh.
You're Kevining. You're Kevining. And two thumbs up, and this is no joke. To finish it off, have a stroke. You're Kevining. You're Kevining.
Duh.
You're Kevining. You're Kevining.
I just had a stroke. Don't mock me.
All right.
Sounds about right.
All right.
Ryan Johnson is the writer, creator, director of a film called Looper. He joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And actor Steven Yeun, who, of course, is on The Walking Dead. He's Glenn. He's on the program later on today as well, here on a Thursday. So you're saying you've not heard of this comedian in Cars Getting Coffee?
No. Bean says, hey, are you guys watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee? And we said, what?
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, like,
What world are you living in?
And then I'm sure Beer Mug said, what's that about?
Probably. Yeah.
Well, it's about comedians in cars getting coffee. Jerry Seinfeld has a web series that I have seen every episode of that is fascinating. It's only online. And basically what he does is he'll call up whoever it is that he's getting together with, Louis C.K. or whoever it is. In this case, it's Michael Richards, his old co-star from The Seinfeld Show. And you see him driving in a car and he calls up and he says, hey, let's go get some coffee. And then he swings by and he picks the guy up and they go to a diner. They have coffee and they film the thing and edit it and put it up online.
He's not trying very hard anymore, is he? After having Seinfeld, the TV show, so successful, now he's just like filming himself in a car going to get coffee.
He is a great interviewer, and obviously they're fascinating guests. They're all very, very funny people, and they tell amazing stories, and I really, really enjoy it. And he had Michael Richards on, who, of course, was Cosmo Kramer on The Seinfeld Show for all those years, who has been laying remarkably low for the past few years since he had that incident.
Yeah.
Now, folks who don't remember the incident, he got involved in – he was doing a comedy stand-up show, and there was a heckler in the audience, and Michael Richards, for whatever reason – he just broke down and he just started screaming basically the N-word at this guy over and over and over again, to the point where the audience just turned on him. And the thing was just obviously a public relations nightmare. And
somebody videotaped it, got out, it was on TMZ.
Essentially, not officially, but kind of unofficially blackballed after that. I mean, it seemed like the dude never worked again, right?
Well, I think that club for sure said they weren't bringing him back.
Why the ball got to be black?
As far as I know, I mean, I think he issued a statement at the time, but as far as I know, I don't know that he's ever spoken about it before. I don't know that he's ever been interviewed about it before.
Yeah, he did apologize, but and I don't remember an interview.
He sits down with Jerry Seinfeld and he talks about what the fallout was like of that incident.
Sometimes I look back at the show and I think I should have enjoyed myself more.
Michael, I could say that myself, but that was not our job. Our job is not for us to enjoy it. Our job is to make sure they enjoy it. And that's what we did.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful because I think I worked selfishly and not selflessly.
Yes.
It's not about me. No. It's about them.
Yes.
Now, that's a lesson I learned.
So a light bulb goes off over Michael Richards' head as he's talking about his time on Seinfeld, maybe not enjoying it as much as he should have. And then he's thinking, oh, I work selfishly. That's what got me into trouble that night on stage.
7 years ago when I blew it in the comedy club, lost my temper because somebody interrupted my act and said some things that hurt me and I lashed out in anger.
Right.
I should have been working selflessly that evening. Uh-huh. Most of the time when I'm in that zone, I am selfless.
Right.
I busted up after that event 7 years ago. It broke me down. It was a selfish response. I took it too personally, and I should have just said, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm not funny.
Right.
I think I'll go home and work on my material, and I'll see you tomorrow night. And split something, anything. But, you know, it's just one of those nights. And thanks for sticking by me. You know,
issue with that.
Well, I mean, it meant a lot to me.
That's nice.
You know? But inside, it still kicks me around a bit.
Okay, well that's
and it's a person.
That's up to you.
Yeah,
that's a big. That's up to you to say. You know what? I've been carrying this bag enough.
Yeah,
I'm going to put it down.
Yeah.
So Jerry Seinfeld's basically trying to talk Michael Richards off the ledge.
He's healing him.
He's trying.
When does it get funny?
Well, I didn't say it was a comedy piece.
It's Jerry Seinfeld.
Right, but
he's the most famous comedian in the world.
Right, he's trying to help his friend work through some issues that clearly he is still devastated by. 7 years later, you can tell that he's still in pain over what he did, over what happened.
Huh.
You're not interested in that at all?
Not much.
Really?
Right. You got more?
He's trying to...
Is the next clip funny?
I do have more. I do have more. I do have one more clip.
Do they bring us funny?
This, to me, is a fascinating story.
Not funny.
And it's about savants. Michael Richards talking about a savant that he met that schooled him. And I had never heard anything like this before.
I used to play chess when I was in the Army. I played. I was unbeatable. I was very, very good at it. With chess, there's ratings. And chess master is about 2100, and I was playing a computer on a 2100 level.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
So I had been playing that machine for weeks, and then I happened to be out on Hollywood Boulevard standing in the corner, and I saw this man, tattered, dirty. He was a street person. He had a chess set there to play. And I said, you play chess? He said, I do.
But he's a homeless guy.
It's a homeless guy. And I said, yeah, he plays. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll play you a game. He goes, hey, I'll play you two games. I beat you two times. You can't play me no more. Puts out his hands, you know, see who's going to go first. Black, white. I pick. I'm white. That means I have the first move. I already have the advantage.
Even now are you sitting on the sidewalk?
I'm sitting on the sidewalk with him. I'm down here like this.
Why would he go with white?
I knew you were thinking that.
Why would he go with white?
He goes with white because you get to go first if you pick white.
All right.
All right, are you intrigued at all by this story?
Not much.
Right.
So I move my piece out. He moves his piece out very quickly. Boom. I said, oh, he stops that move. So I move out, night out. He moves out to palm. He moves out to bishop. And in 2 minutes, he's moving. He got me into defense. Boom. Checkmate. I went, whoa. He checkmated me in 2 minutes.
This is a guy, by the way, who's playing at grandmaster levels against a computer, right? Homeless guy on the street beats him in less than 2 minutes.
Okay.
How does he do it?
Nobody has ever checkmate me in 2 minutes. Nobody, not even the machine, can checkmate me in 2 minutes. But this time I said, okay, let's play. Let's play chess. Makes me pick. I go first again. Okay. I lean in, comes. He moves out his knight. Just the time. He moves out his knight. I move my bishop. Bop, bop, bop. Checkmate! Faster than the first time. So now he's putting his stuff away and I'm going, come on, let's play again, let's play. He goes, no. I beat you 2 times, you can't play me no more. And I'm walking down the, following the guy down the street, going, come on, let's play. He goes, no, you leave me alone, you don't want to play, I don't want to play. I'm going, come on, let's just play another game. Come on. He wouldn't play me. I went home, I called a friend who's a professional chess player. I called him up. I said, Leon, I played a guy on the street who beat me twice. And he goes, yeah, you played a savant. When I'm in tournament in a city, I look for those guys to play those guys. I said, you beat him? He goes, never.
Really?
Really. I always thought, God, can you get one of those guys in a tournament? Imagine. He says, you can't hold them in place. They're crazy. But they're unbeatable.
How about that?
That's kind of interesting.
And then I killed that bum.
No, he didn't kill anybody.
Well, that's a funny ending, though, right?
No,
he should have killed the guy. Bum.
But isn't it...
Because the bum beat him twice. That's funny.
Isn't it crazy to think that there are guys out there who have that kind of skill? They could be rich and famous off that skill, but you can't harness them. You can't put them in a situation where they have to follow rules and show up and behave and not throw their poop and scream and whatnot.
Wouldn't it but have been a savants. Funnier story if he killed the savant?
Well, I don't know that funny is the right word. That
it
he
would be more interesting, sure.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
How can you love it? It's crap. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Or whatever it is.
Whatever time it is.
Speaking of Imagine Dragons, by the way, they are going to be playing with Garbage, one of the great live bands on the road today at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino coming up on Thursday, December the 6th. We have tickets we can give away right now for you. How about that? Tickets go on sale Friday morning at 11, but if you want to see Garbage with that band Imagine Dragons, call us right now at 1-800-520-1067 and you win from the world famous K-Rock. Ralph's out today. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Let me start with this story. Kevin just announced the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees for 2013.
Okay.
They're doing something new this year because there's been criticism of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Go hey. Home.
What?
Hello?
Jay Moore?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Sorry, I'm walking a baby through a sprinkler holding dog feces in a bag.
Well, how did you...
That's a good life.
How did you accidentally get on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show?
How are you also on the
phone? I don't know. I called because listener Beth, dude, so hot.
Come on, Jay Morris.
Sculpting, doing things with her hands. How hot is that, right? You know what I mean, guys? With the hands? You know what else can be done with the hands?
What?
Dude. Nope.
All right. Jay was in here yesterday because he's at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. Tickets available through IrvineImprov.com. And he was essentially making fun of Kevin and Bean because he thinks we like chicks too much. So now all of a sudden to Jay Moore, everything is, oh, dude, she's so hot. She's so hot.
I want to correct you. All right. I don't think you guys like chicks too much. I didn't. I took a pause that you did. You almost thought I was putting on a gag that I really just don't think about chicks at all.
Right. You were lying.
No, I wasn't lying.
Oh,
and by the way, that comedians in cars getting coffee, you didn't even mention that was my house.
Yes.
What?
I meant to bring that up to you yesterday. Jerry Seinfeld and Michael Richards were looking for whose house?
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
They knocked on my doorbell. They knocked on my doorbell. They rang my doorbell.
Yes.
And they got bounced, my friend. I said, Sugar Ray, don't listen. You guys got to get going.
They got bounced by your help.
The only house in all of America where Jerry Seinfeld and Michael Richards get turned away.
It was the weirdest thing. They're driving on their way to get coffee, and Michael Richards says, I'm friends with Sugar Ray Leonard. I know where he lives. Let's turn off here and go stop by his house. And they knock on the door, and Jay's unbelievably tiny little dog that's dressed up in a silly outfit comes to the front door.
Oh, Jay.
But Jay Moore, you weren't home then, right?
No, I was home. I was upstairs. I thought I was being punked.
so I was not going to come downstairs because I didn't want to get... I really felt like I was being punked.
Some kind of video camera somewhere hidden?
Did you look out from upstairs and see Jerry Seinfeld on your front steps, though?
I'm in the back of the house.
Oh.
And they're in the front of the house getting bounced.
Bean forgot that part of the story.
Jay loves that they came to his house and he didn't let them in. He loves that.
I love that as well. All right, Jay, anything else? Or you just got the poop or you just want to hang out with the showbiz?
I threw the poop. You know, you got to find a neighbor's garbage can to dispose of it properly. That's really the key in Los Angeles. You got to bring your garbage cans in right away. Otherwise, it's the community dog receptacle.
And it really makes them mad, too. They hate it when you do that. Even in a bag. I don't get that.
I hate it, too. That's why I'm the guy yelling at everybody, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
But what do you want from me? I bounce Seinfeld.
Jay, do you have any hot neighbors?
Not really. It's kind of a lot of Brits, actually. A lot of British people live in my neighborhood.
A lot of British people.
Wow, fancy.
A lot of Kevin Nealon. He's hot. Dude, oh, how hot is Kevin Nealon?
He's way hot.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Kevin Nealon, Martin Short.
Wow.
Hot neighbors.
Do you have to be a celebrity to live where you live?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
John Goodman.
Jay Moore on stage.
Diane Keaton just bought a house down the street from me.
Irvine Improv tonight at 8 o'clock and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tickets just $30 available at irvineimprov.com. Bring your dog poop for Jay Moore when you go see him tonight.
Oh, goodness.
In a bag.
Gracious.
That's a great
in
tip.
In a bag and just leave it on the stage for Jay Moore.
That's a great tip.
April foolishness. I'm calling my shot right now. I love you guys.
All right, Jay. Thanks, man.
Bye.
Have fun. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees for 2013, they have taken some criticism in the past because there are bands that are phenomenally popular, like Rush is one that comes to mind, Kiss is another, that the hoity-toity critics have never gotten behind, have never really had much good to say about. And the fans of those bands, millions of them strong, say, hey, what about our bands? Why aren't they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? So in response to that criticism, they are now going to have a fan ballot where you can vote, as a fan, you can vote on who is going to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, at least in one category, which I think is a great idea.
That's not bad.
So let me give you just a couple of the names of who's up for grabs this year in 2013. Bearing in mind, of course, that you have to have released your first record at least 25 years ago to even be eligible. So if you're wondering why, hey, where the hell is Incubus? It's because they haven't been around long enough. All right. Okay. Deep Purple, for instance, on the fan ballot this year.
Okay.
If you like them. Chic, the disco band Chic that did Good Times and The Freak and all those songs.
Uh-huh.
They're... Heart is somebody that you can vote for if you'd like to see Heart in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A lot of people complain that women are woefully underrepresented in the hall. Hmm. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
That seems like that's a shoe-in.
Kraftwerk. Wow. The German electronic pioneers. Kraftwerk.
Sure.
NWA.
Oh,
got to put in NWA,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Now you're getting into the conversation of...
Is it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Is it rock and roll?
True.
I mean, I think NWA is very rock and roll. Just an attitude and an energy, I think they absolutely go in. And I would say the same thing for someone else on the ballot this year, and that's Public Enemy. I think Public Enemy should be a first ballot in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well. Rush is on the list for this year, and Donna Summer as well. Hard to argue she's rock and roll, as popular as she was. So those are just some of the names, and you can go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame website if you'd like to cast your vote. Have some influence on who gets inducted.
I'd like to suggest Donna Summer not rock and roll.
Maybe not.
I'm just saying.
But she did cross over quite a bit.
Celebrity birthdays, we have actress Susan Sarandon is 66 years old. Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds and Water for Elephants is 56. Rap producer Russell Simmons is 55. Former Laker forward A.C. Green is 49. I have not heard what's happened to A.C. Green in quite some time since he retired. Liev Schreiber from X-Men Originals, Origins, Wolverine is 45. Alicia Silverstone's birthday today. Rachel Lee Cook today. Jared Weaver, Angels pitcher, is 30. And... Stanley Cup winning Los Angeles Kings forward Justin Williams is 31 years old today and not playing hockey, and that's a bummer, and that's the show. Yeehaw! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Let me tell you about 24 hours from right now, kids. Let me tell you about tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show at this time. Breakfast with the Black Keys.
Yeah!
Come on with the Black Keys, it's one of the biggest bands in the world playing in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Tiny little place. We interview them. You help us interview them. And then they play live.
And if you can't see it, if you can't be here, you can see it live at KROQ.com. You can watch the video of it happening.
Tell everyone you know, Breakfast with the Black Keys, tomorrow, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, new topic. Spoiler alerts. Thanks to the rise of social media, particularly Facebook and more recently Twitter, you can't be online anymore if there's something happening on television that you don't want to know about, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, like, for example, if I'm taping a UFC fight, if I'm out someplace and I'm taping a UFC fight, I don't go on any social media. When I get home, mm-hmm. I go straight to the TV and I start watching the UFC because it happened maybe 3 hours before.
Right.
And it, there's no way you could avoid that being spoiled.
Right.
But if you do happen to pull out your phone at a stoplight like you do and glance at your Twitter.
Don't do that.
And you see people talking about who won the fight, are you then furious at the people that tweeted it?
No, I'm not. I'm furious at me. Because I know people are going to be tweeting that and Facebooking it. Mm-hmm. Is it cool that they're doing it? I don't know. It's a live sporting event.
Right.
It's sort of on me to avoid them.
Most of the people who are interested in watching it are watching it.
Yeah. I think that's on me if it's live.
If it's a live event. All right. Now, depending on the event, it may not just be social media. It may be you can't listen to the radio. You can't watch TV.
Question.
If it's the Emmys or it's the presidential debates or it's something else that's happening that's newsworthy,
right.
It's going to be reported some places. And I think I agree with Kevin. It's kind of on you to realize that and put your own head in the sand.
I was watching, I don't know, Comedy Central or something, and I hadn't watched a Kings game yet. And they somehow...
On Comedy Central?
Yes, and I remember thinking, hey, I'm on Comedy Central. I should not get a spoiler on here.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, but it's a live event or whatever, you know. I don't know. It's kind of... So they're going to do it. That's the reality.
Right. We have a friend who is going to bust an aneurysm in her head, and that is the beautiful Nicole Alvarez, who does the night show here on the world-famous K-Rock. And she joins us on the phone, hopefully in bed and hopefully naked right now. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, gentlemen.
How are you, sweetheart?
Hi, Nicole.
I'm awake.
Why did you go on a rampage recently?
Because humanity ruined Sons of Anarchy for me.
All right, tell us, lay it out for us. What happened? Wait, Sons of Anarchy, isn't that on when you're on the radio?
Exactly. So
okay.
I can't watch it. I mean, we have cable TV in the studio, but I can't watch TV in there while I'm working, correct?
Okay.
You're not supposed to, right?
Understood.
Right. Weatherby would be very upset.
Sure. So what happened?
So I was on Facebook because I was trying to give away tickets to No Doubt in mm-hmm. the fourth row and right. interact with our listeners, and then people started commenting and doing that. I can't believe Kurt Sutter just did that. Oh, my God, that just happened. And then they dropped the name bomb.
The name of the person who died on that episode.
The name of the person who died on that episode. Multiple times I saw it online, and then it was on Twitter, and then it was coming at me from all directions.
Right.
So,
and you hadn't seen the show yet, and that's one of your favorites.
No, and here's the thing, dude. It was less than an hour after the show had aired. Like, the body wasn't even cold yet,
yeah.
And they were ruining it for everybody.
Not for everybody, just those that didn't watch it.
Well, exactly. That was most of us.
But isn't that... But, Nicole, that's sort of on you because...
Oh, don't give me this crap.
Listen, you have to know that's going to happen.
Listen to me. I was so engulfed in work and giving away these tickets and, like, just kind of interacting with the people online.
Right.
I even forgot it was Tuesday night.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Hmm. It was very innocent on my end.
All right, let me ask this question. I'll play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
And that is... Why do people have to tweet spoiler alerts? Is the other half of this equation?
Human beings in this world.
But why does somebody need to do that? Is it because they and their circle of friends are all watching the show live and they're trying to communicate with one another about how awesome that show is and what just happened? And here's the plot point:
take the freaking phone and call each other. Then
that doesn't happen.
No,
that's
old school.
You know that. You text. You text at the very least. Most of the time, it's Facebook.
How about this, guys? Let's say they have the need to vent emotionally by using their fingers on a keyboard. They
right.
have to type something up.
Right.
A lot of these shows have their own sites that have these things called discussion boards.
Right. But that's for the hardcore nerds.
Okay, well, these people are hardcore jackasses.
Okay. But here's my point, Nicole. Did one person ruin it for you?
No, it was one person that started it, and he is now blocked, and he was like a listener or something.
Good.
He ruined it. I'm like, I don't even want you in my realm.
So it's but it's coming from kind of everyone. Like, at this point,
yeah,
whether they
everyone.
Should do it or not is irrelevant. They're going to do it. You have to stay away from it.
Okay, well, now I've learned that painful lesson.
That's the rule. It's on you to avoid if you want to watch something.
Now, hold on. I was listening to you guys talk about live events.
Yes.
Let's say the Oscars or whatnot.
Right.
Television shows like Sons of Anarchy are meant for us to suspend disbelief. We kind of like live vicariously through these characters
Agreed.
For a while.
Right.
The Oscars, like if I know who won best screenplay, I don't care. That doesn't take me out of my life.
Right. So it's just stuff you care about.
Right. So I don't care about live events.
So do you just want us to put out the word, no one tweet about Sons of Anarchy?
No, common decency. Just if you want to tweet about it, tweet about it, but don't name names. Isn't that a fair compromise, don't you think?
I do think it's a fair compromise, but I also know that if you go to Facebook next time, it's not going to be like that.
In other words, it's a perfect scenario. It's the reality. You have to face the reality of the modern age.
They could just put
yes.
giant spoiler alert before everyone of their entries.
But that would be a good way to do it.
Is that a rule? Do you have to put spoiler alert?
I think that would be good. Like Entertainment Weekly does that.
What about it's the next day?
Decency.
Yeah. How long do we have to wait because you're too lame to watch the show?
Hours. 24 hours. That's here's why. I'm a TV purist. I feel like you have to watch your show the night of. I don't care where you are. Figure it out. You have 24 hours to watch this go down and then have at it.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Nicole says 24 hours and then everything's fair game.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, I've rarely, and look, this is Bean speaking. I've seen a lot of angry women in my time. I've rarely sensed someone was as angry as Nicole was that night over Sons of Anarchy. I really thought she was going to drive to that listener's house and throttle him.
Nicole, we cool? We friends? We cool? We boys?
We're cool, but I'm sure that now Kevin Ryder, like, I feel like you're going to go out of your way to call me on the hotline on Tuesdays and ruin everything.
You know me so well.
I do.
All right, Nicole, we love you. Thank you.
I love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We want to hear from you now. Now that you've heard Nicole, now that you've heard Lisa's compromise, we want to hear from you what your spoiler alert rules are.
Spoiler alert.
And do we also want to hear some stories of spoiler alerts?
Oh, yeah.
How they've ruined your life?
The worst ones, yeah.
Yeah, we want to hear if you've really been devastated by spoiler alerts. I think it would be a lot of fun for all of us to hear your misery. So we're talking about the topic. Maybe we can come up with some sort of a consensus here on how it should go and how it has not worked in the past. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Q, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, our breakfast with the Black Keys will be going on right now. We are talking about spoiler alerts.
Yeah, we live in the age, let's face it, where most of us are online pretty much all the time. And it's kind of hard to avoid spoiler alerts on Twitter, on Facebook.
It isn't really that hard.
Really? I would find it difficult.
Well, I mean, it depends on how long you have to wait. I mean,
right.
Most of the time, if I tape a sporting event or I tape something, that's what I do when I get home, so I only have to avoid it for a couple hours.
Dear Kevin and Bean, please give your opinion on this situation. Then we're going to go to your phone calls here at 1-800-520-1067. During the NBA playoffs, I DVR'd each Laker game, whether I watched it live or not. I know, dumb superstition. This particular game, though, I had to be at a kid's birthday party. Some people were in another room watching the game, but I avoided it so I could go home and watch the entire game from beginning to end. Kevin, you've done that many times.
Yep.
End of the game comes, I politely asked my friend, please don't spoil it for me because I'm going to watch when I get home. She understood. She agreed not to spoil. Then another guest who I'd never met before came up to me and said, I won't say anything, but you're really going to like the outcome of this game.
Oh, that's people who think they're not giving it away are the worst. They always are.
I wanted to punch him in the face for being a total D-bag. I know it's a lot to ask to be completely isolated from the score of a Laker playoff game, but I think this guy went out of his way to spoil and deserved a good ass kicking.
But that guy didn't even know the person. Look, if it's a live sporting event, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the one thing that everyone watches live.
You really can't stay away from that and just accept it and just go, well, I'm going to watch it anyway. I DVR'd it.
All right, we got time for a couple calls. Who do you like?
Let's start with Courtly. Hi, Courtly.
Hello.
What's going on?
A while back, a couple years back, I went to go to the movies to see Inside Man. And right before the show was going to start, ran into the restroom, used it really quickly. And while I was in there, two ladies who had just seen the movie probably 5 minutes before comes into the bathroom and starts saying, can you believe it? It was such a good movie. I can't believe he was inside the bank the whole time. And how did he drill this and drill that? And he stole that. And they started saying the whole plot. So after I finished using the bathroom, I went out and I let them have it. And I just told them, you know what? Can you at least wait to get outside the movie theater before you start talking about it? For those people who haven't seen it, I'm going in there right now. And they just gave me dirty looks and I walked out.
That's a funny story. Let me ask you this while you're on the line. What is, we're talking about live TV a lot, but let's talk about movies for a second. How long after a movie comes out are you not allowed to bring it up in conversation to people? Like, what's a reasonable amount of time to wait? Because not everybody goes opening weekend.
Well, I think you ask them. You say, do you want me I've seen it. Do you want me not to say anything?
How about on social media? Like, could I tweet something about, like, I don't think I would tweet something about Looper right now.
Right.
But could I tweet something about him?
But it's been out since.
You know what? You know what? When you buy those little movie tickets, the gold passes, they're good for the first 2 weeks of the movie. Wait the first 2 weeks of the movie, and then everyone else will go see it.
Everyone dies in Looper.
Thanks, I haven't seen it.
Thank you for the call. Dear Kevin and Bean, JD writes, I talked to my girlfriend on the phone before going to buy tickets for The Sixth Sense, and she asked me, is that the movie where Bruce Willis is dead and he doesn't know?
Oh my God.
Ouch. I ended up seeing the movie, did not spoil it for my friends, but the movie sucked because of that. Please fire a beer mug. Thank you, JD.
They put Rocky back in theaters at some point, and I went back to see it because it's such a great movie, the mm-hmm. original Rocky, and mm-hmm. I was sitting next to somebody that I didn't know, and during the end of the movie, I leaned over and I said, he loses.
So you're that guy.
She started,
really?
Yeah, because it was just too. It was too much of a setup. It had been a couple of years
yeah,
since the movie came out. So oh well. Chris, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
You're a fan of who and what happened?
You know, I wasn't a fan at all. I was just trying to watch the Super Bowl game, the first one between the Giants and the Patriots.
Okay, and what happened?
Okay, so I was at work. And, you know, I worked at a donut shop, you know, to top it off.
You're giving us a lot of information that's not central to this story.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Well, I was at work, and I had my TV, the radio off to avoid anything to know about the game.
And how was it spoiled?
And it was spoiled because it was a ghost town, and the very first customer after the game ended came in and said, "Woo, the Giants won!" And
love it.
But, it was pretty hard.
But Chris, thank you for the call. You got to know
it's with the Super Bowl.
With the Super Bowl, there's no spoiler.
There's no such thing
as a spoiler alert.
Absolutely
that's what
not.
Everybody watches, and that's just how it works. Let's go to Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hello. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
What happened to you?
I was actually at K Rock for Christmas a few years ago, and I was all happy rocking out, and I was going on Facebook to post a picture of one of my favorite bands, 311.
Right.
And I go, and the first story that pops up on my news feed was, okay, spoiler alert for all the listeners, was the season 4 of Dexter when Trinity killed Rita.
Right.
And I almost had a flippin' heart attack. What? I literally deleted her from Facebook friends. Like, I'm no longer friends with her on Facebook for that.
Yeah, I mean, she tweeted it within a few minutes of it airing.
Yes, exactly.
Uncool.
That was my other point with that. I was texting with Nicole about it, too. I was like, hey, you mentioned the fact that these people were Facebooking and tweeting about it.
Yeah.
On the West Coast feed of it, these aired.
Yeah, and that's another problem, by the way. Depending on what cable system you have, some people get a show at 10, some people get it at 7. You could easily spoil it for somebody if you get on there.
And they just want to be the first one to say something about it. That's really what it is.
They're just attention whores.
Yeah,
that's true.
I totally agree.
You know what I mean?
Thank you.
And my whole point is...
Take it easy, Katie. Settle down. So breathe and settle down.
No, my whole point about it is just something like, or Facebook something about it. But don't put the spoiler alert, like Lisa was saying.
Put spoiler alert, or just say,
"Oh my God, I can't believe Sons of Anarchy tonight. I'm so sad." Don't put names.
But don't even say I'm so sad. That's a giveaway.
Just I can't believe. That's all.
Yeah.
By the way, listen to the pain in her voice after years later. She's still walking around butthurt.
Thank you, Katie. Hey, by the way, I found out that Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear.
What?
At an Acoustic Christmas.
Oh, I thought you were telling us right now.
No. I'm saying I was at Acoustic Christmas the night of the fight. It was a big fight, and the, I don't know, valet or somebody that was waiting for their car, somebody said, "I can't believe he bit his ear." I was like, what? That was the worst thing ever.
Stephen Yun joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's going to be in Stuart.
Wow. Oh, sweet.
In studio, he, of course, is Glenn on The Walking Dead, returning a week from Sunday. While we're talking about things that everyone's talking about, Looper is the thing right now. That's all everybody wants to talk about is Looper, yet it's the kind of movie, as much as we enjoyed and as much as we want to talk about, we have to be very careful not to spoil it for people because most people haven't gone to see it yet. Ryan Johnson has seen it. He wrote it. He directed it. He's on the line with us right now. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Wait, hold on 1 second, please.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
No, we're going to try not to have any spoiler alts.
All right, we're going to try.
Ryan, congratulations on Looper. Are you happy with the way it came out?
Oh man, yeah, I'm really, really thrilled, man, and I'm just excited it's out there. Folks are going to see it. It's really exciting.
I bet it is. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you guys have been friends for a long time. He was one of the stars of your first movie, right? Brick. He had a brief cameo in the second movie. Now you got him back for the third one. Working with a guy like that, is there nothing this dude can't do? I mean, what a year he's had, and how amazing is he in your film?
He's really something. You get that feeling that you could just ask him to do anything. I might ask him to, like, you know, build me a house next or something. I might take advantage
just
of this.
There's no end to what he can do?
No end. The man is just, he's Superman. We've been good friends for like 10 years now, and that's one thing that's really great, especially when you're trying a movie that, take some risks the way this one does.
Definitely.
To have a good friend next to you doing it with you, you know, that really helps.
It's a different thing for us to see a movie that you went out, you wrote, it was very unique, it doesn't really look like anything else, it's not, doesn't remind you of anything else, and you trying to pitch it at the beginning. That must have been difficult, right?
Because Hollywood is not exactly open to new and original ideas these days.
Okay, so then that guy goes back in time, and then that guy but shoots him but then doesn't. That's really confusing. Did you write the entire script before you?
That was my method, I actually, it's kind of the long way around, but I didn't pitch it. I just wrote a script, and then I have a great producer, and we went out there and said, you know, does anybody want to make this movie? And we found a couple people who were crazy enough to.
A couple people. Bruce Willis and Emily Blunt.
Did you think you'd ever get a guy like Bruce Willis for that role when you wrote it?
Oh, no, man. When it came time to cast it, I was like, you know, Bruce Willis's name came up, and I was like, well, there's no way he'd do it, right? But, yeah, let's try.
It'd be great, and but.
Look how badass he is at, what, 60-something?
Oh, my God. He just kicks ass all over the place. He said yes the day that we sent it to him. I was really, really shocked.
That's amazing. All
right. Yeah, man.
Without any spoiler alerts, and again, this is the voice of Rian Johnson here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his film in theaters now called Looper. It's a time travel movie. People know that much from the trailers. It's set 30 years in the future and then 30 years in the future from that. There's no explanation as to why does the world change so much between 2012 and 2044, I guess, where the first part of the movie is set. Like, what happened that created this world of lawlessness? Why did America fall apart? What happened to make America fall apart? Maybe it doesn't matter. It's not addressed in the movie. But when you were writing the thing, did you have some idea of how we got to that point?
Yeah, I had some ideas, but my thinking was, you know, and this kind of applied to the whole thing. I just feel like we've seen enough sci-fi movies to where we can all make the leap to a dystopian near future.
Yeah, that's true. Can.
And looking at the world around, you know, you can easily imagine a dozen scenarios. I mean, you know, we all watched the debates last night. We can all see kind of
that
a
we're
lot
going
of
down the down the tubes.
I personally don't think so. I'm optimistic. I think we're going to do all right. But given the question, you could definitely say, well, this could happen, that could happen. So it just didn't seem like something that was worth spending, you know, 15 seconds of screen time to show, you know, how we got there.
It works. I mean, it does work that you just accept that's where
that's
you are.
That's the world. Like you do in The Walking Dead or in Revolution or whatever, you just accept the premise. Now, there are hundreds of time travel movies and television shows. Did you consult any of those or abide by any of their rules? Or did you just start from scratch and go, this is what time travel means to me. I'm going to make up my own rules.
Well, no, basically time travel is such a difficult thing to work into a movie. You know, you'd really be a fool not to use like the great ones that have already been done. So I did study like, you know, great time travel movies like, Back to the Future and, the first Terminator was a really big influence. But then at the end of the day, you know, time travel with this movie, it's all about serving this story. And I didn't want it to be the other way around. I wanted to keep the time travel pretty simple, actually, so that it was more about how these characters were dealing with the situation. So it was mostly a matter of kind of making a set of rules that made sense and we stayed consistent to, but that, you know, that it didn't take over the whole movie, basically.
Well, you pulled that off really well.
Thanks, man.
And I got to tell you, it's one of the few movies that you see a trailer for and you go, that looks great. And then you go see the movie and the movie exceeds the trailer. That doesn't happen very often. And I wanted to ask you about the little kid. He's part of the reason. Who is that little kid? How did you find him?
And please tell us he's locked up somewhere and he's not going to be unleashed on the world. This movie is the biggest advertisement for birth control you will ever see. No one will ever want to have a child again after this movie.
Is he in jail?
That was my aim, making it.
Was it just a casting call?
It was just a casting. Well, yeah, absolutely. We just cast a broad net, and we found Pierce Gagnon is his name. He was 5 years old when we made the movie, and we found him in Atlanta. We just found him in the broad sweep. He hadn't done much before.
That boy ain't right, Ryan.
I'm scared of him.
That boy ain't right.
I'm scared of that kid.
Yeah, he's, you know what he is, man? He's just a really amazing actor. It's incredible to see a five-year-old that's an amazing actor, but that's Pierce. And I should tell anyone who has seen the movie, he has a wonderful mother, and he's going to be just fine.
I hope so.
That was a big question mark.
Last question for me.
I can't believe that he killed everyone at the end, though.
First of all, don't say that. Second of all.
Spoiler alert.
My last question for you, and I don't think this gives anything away because you can see it's a movie with some violence even in the commercials. What is the actual body count in your film, if you know, Ryan?
Oh, my God. I need to do a screening where we count it
out. I would love to know.
I remember a friend of mine and I, back in high school, we watched The Running Man, that Schwarzenegger movie.
Sure.
And we kept like a shouting out body count. And I remember when he buys it at the end. Is it Dawson, the guy who buys it at the end? It was 100 people exactly.
Wow. You got to be close, dude.
It up. Yeah, we got to see if we can beat The Running Man.
Well, like I said when we brought you on, it's the movie everyone is talking about. It's so exciting. Please go see Looper. It is available in theaters everywhere. Loopermovie.com. is the website. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin
Thanks
Bean Show.
We
enjoyed it. Glenn's in the next room. I saw Glenn. I'm hoping there aren't some walkers behind him.
It's a TV show, but it is The Walking Dead. We're talking Walking Dead next.
Very excited. Stephen Yeun, who plays Glenn on the show, joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. This time tomorrow, right here on Good Old K-Rock, Breakfast with the Black Keys. We'll be knee-deep in...
In what? Whoa, what are we going to be knee-deep in, Bean?
Rock, man, rock! Yeah. Black Keys performing live and being interviewed by us and the Kevin and Bean listeners. That's tomorrow right here on the world-famous K-Rock. In the meantime, filling in for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat, it's us... David Blaine, back in the news. He's got another ridiculous stunt.
Is he that fake magician guy?
Well, he's a real magician. He's one of the greatest magicians in the history of the world. He blows your mind when he does magic, but years ago he decided he wasn't going to do magic anymore. He was just going to do feats of endurance. He, of course, hung out without a net over Central Park for 60 hours back in 2008. He held his breath underwater for 17 minutes and 4 seconds. He was buried alive for a week in a see-through coffin. He survived in a block of ice for 63 hours.
That's right.
I couldn't be less interested in that stuff.
What's the point of those endurance things that he does?
All right, he's in a coffin. Good for him.
His new one is that starting tomorrow, he is going to be spending 3 days and 3 nights standing in the middle of a million volts of electric currents streamed by Tesla coils.
Meaning if he falls or moves, he gets electrocuted?
I don't know. The feat is called Electrified, 1 million volts always on, will take place at Pier 54 on New York's west side. It will be open to the public. Spectators can type messages to Blaine, control the electricity around him, and basically help keep him alert.
Spoiler alert.
He dies.
It'll be streamed on YouTube. I don't know what the point is of this. He is going to be wearing a chainmail bodysuit as a barrier between himself and the electric currents. He'll have a wire helmet on.
Spoiler alert.
He does.
A visor to shield his eyes and hearing protection for his ears. The air he breathes will be monitored. He will not be able to eat, but he will have a tube for water in and another tube for water out.
Yeah.
He is fasting for 4 days beforehand, so he does not expect any other bodily waste. But what's the point of it? Just standing near electricity? That's what he's going to do?
Spoiler alert.
He dies.
Someone pays him some money for it.
But how is that magic?
I don't know.
It isn't.
Most of what he does isn't magic.
Anymore.
Yeah. It's just endurance.
Just isn't.
I mean, this to me would be like if after a thunderstorm, you come across an electrical wire in your street, okay? And it's zapping. And if you touch it, you're going to die. So you don't touch it. You just stand near it. That's his magic trick. It's just standing near electricity.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. There might be trouble in Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom's marriage, according to In Touch magazine. Lamar was a little angry at Khloe for airing their fertility issues. He didn't necessarily want that out there.
She came out on the show talking about how they were having trouble conceiving and she wasn't sure she was going to have a baby and blah, blah, blah.
Apparently.
What, was he worried that it was making him not look so manly?
I don't know. You have to look at In Touch, but apparently he moved away for a couple of days at least.
Really?
Into his loft that he has downtown. Which I imagine is what he uses when there's Laker games.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I can't blame him.
Do you think that's a big deal? I mean, it's her issue, not his.
No. I can't blame him for taking any way out.
Yeah,
he's married to Khloe Kardashian.
I agree.
However he gets away from her, get away from her. And apparently Rihanna and Chris Brown are back together. So make of that what you will. They have been spotted all over town. New York Page 6 has them sitting next to each other, having the time of their lives, watching the Jay-Z concert in Brooklyn the other day. I don't. It seems like there are a lot of dudes in this world who would date Rihanna.
Yep.
There are. Who have already not hit her in the face.
Why not at least so far.
Why not just choose one of them?
Seems like a good idea.
That's all I'm saying. All right, today's celebrity birthday is actress Susan Sarandon. So talented. Oscar winner. See her in the new Richard Gere film, Arbitrage, by the way. She is terrific in that as his wife. She turns 66 years old today. Oscar-winning actor Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds. He will soon be seen in Django Unchained, the new Quentin Tarantino film. He is 56 years old today. Russell Simmons, the all-time great rap producer and label starter, turns 55. AC Green, former Los Angeles Laker forward, is 49. Liv Schreiber, star of Broadway and also the movies, including X-Men Origins Wolverine and Salt, is 45 years old. I got some complaints about Alicia Silverstone getting a bell, you guys.
Yeah, I say no.
I mean, of course, back in the Clueless days, she was way
hot.
She was
cute.
She is on Suburgatory now, and I came across a commercial for that the other day, and I thought she still looked good.
Hmm.
It's a sitcom that's on right now.
She's one of those people that depends on the angle.
Yes.
You know?
So my angle is no.
Rachel Lee Cook, I think we could all agree, though, is still bell-worthy. She is 33. From your Los Angeles Kings, Justin Williams is 31 years old today, although not so much playing hockey as not playing hockey,
thanks to the lockout.
Yeah. And pitcher for the Angels, Jared Weaver, certainly in consideration for the Cy Young this year in the American League, turns 30 today, and that's the show. You don't start by antagonizing the guest. The first thing you do is not to.
I didn't know I left my phone over there.
Finger.
What?
Oh, you didn't know you
left
your
phone,
over there? With what on your phone?
Well, I have a case on my phone that has a Stanley Cup and the Los Angeles Kings on
it. And who's our guest?
Well, Stephen Yeun.
And why did you think you'd leave the phone for him to find
it? I just forgot that it was over there.
Oh, my gosh.
See what it's like to be a Red Wings fan?
Living in L.A.
See what it's like?
I didn't know I'd catch flack here, but I guess everyone hates the Red Wings.
Well, everyone hates the Red Wings. Yeah, they're the Yankees of hockey. Let's be honest.
Why are you a Red Wings fan? Let's start with that.
I'm a Red Wings fan because I grew up in Detroit. I grew up in Michigan.
Legit. You can't hate the man if that's his team.
Of course I can.
Why? He grew up loving the Red Wings his whole life. Why can't he be a Red Wings fan? That doesn't make him bad.
He's been taught to hate us. So what?
I don't hate the Kings because you guys never make it.
Oh.
Never made it.
That hurt until this very moment. Yeah. We made it once.
Yeah, touche.
So far.
And by the way, the Kings may be the last team that ever wins the Stanley Cup based on the lockout, too.
I don't understand hockey. I don't know what they're trying to do. I mean, are they
the
trying to,
cut back the players' money?
I mean,
that's what's happening.
But do they want to end the league? For the last time this happened, everybody forgot about it.
No, you know what happened is they started putting poker on TV in its place, and poker got better ratings. And then the NHL came back and said, "Hey, we're ready now," and they went, "No thanks."
And that's why
the NHL was on all these lame networks.
I was so sad during that lockout. That was terrible.
Yeah. It's good. It's terrible again. All right, new topic. Are you guys able to bury the hatchet, the hockey hatchet?
Sure.
Here? Is everybody, you guys, going to be friends?
Yeah.
Able to get along?
Maybe.
Stephen Yeun is here. He, of course, is Glenn on The Walking Dead. Season 3 premiere is going to be this Sunday night on AMC. It seems like to us, Stephen, and I'm sure it doesn't to you because you've been making the show, seems like it's been off for a long time. Like we're ready.
Yeah, you know, it seems like that to us. I mean, we've been shooting for the last God knows how long. I think about 5-6 months. And we're just ready for people to see it.
Yeah. How'd you get on The Walking Dead? Tell me what you're doing before this show.
Well, I was kind of cut my teeth in Chicago for 4 years. I did a whole Second City thing there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, they were gracious enough to let me play there. I have no idea why. But I got to tour with them for a couple years.
Doing comedy, by the way.
Yes, doing comedy.
And then you end up being Glenn.
I know. It's crazy.
That is weird.
Yeah. I remember moving out here and all actors are going to hate me, but I booked this in like 5 months.
Oh, they do hate you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I accept that it's very fortunate. And,
you barely had time to start waiting tables before you got an acting job.
But I did wait tables to say I could.
You had to. That's required if you're an actor, right?
It was a great place. Yeah.
Where'd you wait tables?
I waited tables at a restaurant in K-Town called Maitreya.
Okay.
And
you know that there are people who still go to that restaurant and they go, "Remember that waiter that was here? I swear to God, he's the guy on my TV."
He looks like that guy in The Walking Dead.
I think he might be closed.
They quit? They closed the doors when you left?
No, I think I tanked the business.
So is this your first television job then?
This is my first regular series television job, yes.
Dude,
yeah,
sweet.
I'm telling you, I'm so lucky.
And what a cast and what an everything. I mean, what a creator and what a support from the network and everything like that. It's like the actor's dream gig is to be on a show like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, Robert Kirkman makes the comic, and he creates such an awesome place to go from, and then Frank Darabont puts it out there, and Gail Ann Hurd puts it out there. By the way, she just got a Walk of Fame star yesterday.
Oh, no kidding.
So we heard.
So shout out to Gail. And, you know, then now we have Glenn Mazzara, who's running the show, and all these amazing writers and producers, and Denise, and
it looks like a great show to watch. Great show to be on, but miserable to film. It looks like it's hot and dirty and messy, and it doesn't look like a lot of fun when you're actually making it.
Which is part of the fun. Right now, you guys don't see, but I wore all this extra clothes because I'm covering up bug bites everywhere.
Really?
Chiggers, ticks.
Oh, no. Hey, careful with the language.
Seriously. All right.
How dare you?
All right.
So you have a bunch of bites from being out in the woods?
Yeah. I mean, you go home and you're like, how did I get this? It's in my armpit. Like, how did I get there? You know, it's crazy.
Well, that sucks. People listening to us who live in Southern California and have not traveled much have no idea how brutal summers are in Atlanta. Yeah. No, it is hell on earth there.
The humidity
is miserable.
It's terrible.
And so many chiggers there.
Hey.
Come right?
On. Watch your language.
That's what he just said back to you.
Hey.
And you guys, up until this season, we're outside all the time almost, it seemed like, right?
And what's amazing is this season, you know, we have kind of let it out that we're in the prison. And we were like, oh, man, you know, we really like the heat because it helped us act. It made us look miserable. What are we going to do when we go to a stage? Is it going to be too hard, or are we going to have to overdo stuff? And somehow the amazing set designers have created an atmosphere that is equally as terrible.
Just as miserable.
just as miserable.
Pressing.
Just
awful.
Dark, wet, like,
you don't even
smoky.
Want to go there.
They don't trust you to act, do they? They just go, we're going to have to make them miserable.
Yeah.
We'll start there.
Pumping the gas. I don't know. It's
all right,
miserable.
Let's get into it. What happens this season?
Okay, so at the beginning, I can't say.
All right, we need to take a break, actually.
Is that the thing about being on a show like this, is you can't walk 5 feet without somebody asking you for some sort of spoiler? People come up to you all the time and want to know what's next, right?
You know what's weird is, like, they ask it out of, like, reflex. They're like, dude, tell me what happens. Don't tell me what happens. No, tell me what happens. I don't want to know, but tell me what happens.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to do either. Like, just watch, please.
Well, we have a lot of questions about Glenn because he has been on quite a journey. He's one of the characters who has changed a lot over the course of the season, and it looks like for season 3, he really has to step up, too.
And frankly, we're surprised he's still there being walker bait and all.
They've been
setting him up every episode to go down.
They are trying to kill you, basically, is what's happening. Actor Steven Yeun is here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk more Walking Dead right after this on K-Rock.
Sure wish we could see that band play that live.
Actually,
that'd be pretty cool.
Kevin, tomorrow, Breakfast with the Black Keys tomorrow, right here on the world famous K-Rock at 7 o'clock. And we'll be streaming it through K-Rock.com, so you can either watch it or listen to it. So how
or
about
both.
That?
Or both.
That's Black Keys tomorrow here on the world famous K-Rock. Hey, Dr. Drew joins us in just a few minutes. Our guest right now is Steven Yeun. He, of course, is Glenn from The Walking Dead. You got any scabs or anything like that you want to hang on and talk to Dr. Drew about?
Oh, yeah.
Any kind of growths?
Just a lot
itchy.
Of lumps everywhere.
All right, because we got a doctor on the show. So take advantage of that. I don't know what your healthcare program is with The Walking Dead, but we've got a free guy you can talk to.
The healthcare program is tough it out. Walk it off.
Let's talk about Carl.
No. Carl Kevin has never hated anyone more than he hates Carl.
Carl needs to die.
No.
Am I correct?
No.
I'm not correct in that?
You're not correct.
Carl needs to live?
I think Carl embodies the future and the hope.
Wow.
The future does not look good.
No, it does.
Time for a suicide pact.
We're in trouble.
You know what? As much as the character, you might say what you say, but I got to say, Chandler Riggs, that dude
the
is
real
the man.
Kid.
He is
He's
the
man.
Man.
Yeah.
And just, I remember we shot a scene, just him and I. And I was just doing my thing, and I thought he missed a line. I was like, oh, hey, man, you missed a line. You should pick it up. I was doing the whole condescending, overbearing, older
Let me
acting
take
thing.
You under my wing.
Yeah. And then he's like, no, I did that on purpose. And I was like, oh, I just got
it. Was the scene better for it, for that choice?
Yeah, he's amazing. Chandler's amazing.
What's it like for him, if you know, to get the reaction that he must get everywhere he goes from people who watch the show who hate his character so much, and yet he's just an actor doing his job?
He's a good actor.
He's a charming kid, too, and so he takes it. He takes it in stride, and this season...
Does he die?
I'm not saying nothing. But this season...
Does he end up dead?
What I can say...
Do they take his life?
Oh, son of a...
Do they bite him?
This season, he kills it.
He kills it.
He kills it.
He kills it. So it doesn't kill him. That's
it's
all.
It's a general term. It's a general phrase.
He nails it. Gotcha.
All right.
He's just going to be a psychotic, right? Crazy guy.
What's it like being an actor on a show where you know every week when the script arrives, it could be your last week?
It's
terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's not good for you in your stomach.
Yeah.
Mentally.
It's not good mentally. You know what? The writers and the producers are really gracious enough that if you might go, they might hint at it.
So that you don't buy another house?
Yeah. You know, I'm on my third house right now. I have no houses. But, you know, they're gracious. And what's great about our show is everything that happens matters and is effective to push the story along. Mm-hmm. So even if you go, I mean, you go out hard and you go out big.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
The deaths last year were insane, but they were amazing.
Tell us about Andrew Lincoln. He seems like an amazing
He seems like the guy I want in my bunker when the ish goes down. Like, I want a dude like that to stand up and take over.
You know, I wish you guys could visit the set, and maybe you guys will at some point, but everyone that comes to the set says the same thing, which is you guys seem very tight, everyone's really nice, and everyone is really respectful and professional.
Wow.
And that starts
from... That
doesn't
happen in TV.
Does it not?
Not much.
See, what I'm saying is this is my first big
thing.
Well,
you need to get Tracy Morgan on your show so you can find out how the rest of the world lives.
Oh, my God. If I had Tracy Morgan on my show, I would love that. Are you kidding?
He just wanders through a scene in Atlanta.
Brilliant. But I got to tell you, Andrew Lincoln, he's the head of the fish that doesn't rot. You know, it says the fish rots from the head down, and mm-hmm. he definitely keeps it intact. And he set the precedent from the first season. And
it's
everyone,
a great cast, but he carries a lot of that show, and he is so intense and just great.
He's first in, last out, you know, every time.
We're talking about The Walking Dead, which returns on AMC this Sunday night.
A week from Sunday.
A week from Sunday, I apologize.
October 14th.
On AMC. We're going to have David Morrissey in. Next hour, who plays the governor. Who is a new...
What the hell's wrong with you?
Dude, I got issues.
All right, October 14th is when the show comes
Kevin
back.
Kevin is next telling week, you what's going
we
on.
We have David Morrissey.
I'm out of sorts because I'm not in my pajamas right now. I hate this.
What's wrong with you?
So David Morrissey next week is going to be joining us. The governor is a new character, new to the TV show. People who read the comic books and the graphic novels certainly know about him. What can you tell us about the impact that he makes on your characters in this upcoming season?
You know, what's great is our show kind of has this tightness with the cast, and we kind of have this old school thing where, you know, if you've been there from the beginning, you have, you know, the kind of a gravitas that you kind of belong there and own it. And David Morrissey came in and just took it.
Yeah, I don't know how that seems like it would take somebody with a lot of charisma to
just come in and just like be like, this is mine. And because his character has to do that.
Yeah,
and
he's the new boss.
He showed up and, you know, man, he's amazing. He's
so
a
no
presence.
Hazing or he didn't do that.
He's very tall.
No,
he's very tall.
I don't think he would put up with that.
Yeah, no.
All right. Yeah. There must be somebody you hate on the show. Come on. Everybody can't be amazing.
I gotta tell you, every
Sarah
single
Wayne
person,
Callie we've had in, she's great.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
Please Laurie don't go Holden. Down. Yeah, she's great. Don't go down the list.
Who do you hate? There's got to be someone.
There's got to be someone who's just a dick.
Robert.
No.
All right. Carl.
No, Chandler. I said he's great.
Yeah, I know, he needs to die, though, right? We agreed on that, I thought.
You know what? This sounds lame, and it is lame, because I'm sure it's more fun to hate somebody, but, man, we hang out. Is that weird?
That is weird.
It's weird, but you know
That's
what it
great.
Is we are kind of all together in Atlanta.
Yeah,
and
you're trapped.
We're moved. Yeah. We moved there. And so if you don't get along, then the show's going to eat it. So,
yeah, you're right.
It's good.
Well, no one expected the show to become the sensation that it is. When it came on, I mean, there were people who were like, yeah, it's a zombie show. But it's so much more than that.
Thank you.
And
it
really is. It's one of the best things going on
Can
TV.
You tell us anything about the first episode? Like, is there any, without giving away what you're not supposed to give away?
I can tell you. The first episode is going to punch you in the stomach and in the mouth.
Okay,
both times. Right eye,
stomach first, mouth
little
second.
Little left ear.
Yeah. Okay,
solid combinations to
That's
all your
what
body.
I want to hear.
Yeah, it's a high impact, crazy,
fantastic.
Episode.
Can't wait. A week from Sunday, October the 14th on AMC at 9:00. And it's called, we're talking Breaking Bad, right?
Is no, this is The Walking Dead. No.
This
God
is Homeland?
Sakes.
What are we, where are we? What are we doing?
Steven, thank you for coming in. We appreciate
thank
it.
Nice to meet you, man.
For
appreciate
having
it.
Me. Go Red Wings.
Breakfast with the Black Keys tomorrow, 7:00, right
Can't
here on K-Rock.
Can't happen soon enough. You need to go home.
You can also Stream it at krock.com. Next hour, by the way, our little friend Brad Williams is going to be interviewing the biggest stars in sports, including Magic Johnson, including David Beckham, including James Worthy, including
Dwight Howard,
all of those. So we got those interviews for you coming up next hour. And Brad is also going to be on Dr. Drew's program tonight on HLN. Dr. Drew, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend.
Thank you, Bean. Yes, I'm very excited about that. I've been looking for some way to get him on the program for months.
Dr. Drew, you know he's a dwarf, right?
What?
Yeah, he's like 4'4".
I just thought he was just this funny guy.
He is funny.
Have you had Brad on Loveline?
We have had him on Loveline a couple of times.
He's the best.
He's the best, and he has actually a very inspiring story about how his dad helped him deal with being dwarf and being different and addressing him really quite assertively. And that's the kind of stories we're going to get into tonight.
Now, that's interesting because we've known Brad for a long time, but we never have serious conversations with him because it's just, you know, he's the funny little man to us.
You could say that of just about everybody you speak to.
How dare you?
So you're telling me that when Brad was old enough to realize that he was different from other people and he had two ways to go in his life, where he could walk around being a victim for the whole rest of his life, or he could do what his father suggested, which is just to say, overcome that and be the best person you can be. It was one of those kind of talks?
I wish I could remember the details. In fact, I'm anxious to hear it again tonight because it was even sort of more than just the average, hey, get over it, kid, you're special. He had a very unique way of looking at it that really was just irresistible. And Brad tells it in a way with such inspiration and such love about his father that's something I really wanted to get out there and share. So, and he's funny as hell, let's face it, too.
He is funny as hell. And what's fascinating about a guy like him is that, you know, some people act like they are not bothered by their side.
Exactly.
He genuinely isn't.
Yeah, he's in a strange way, it's an asset for him. And he goes right along with it. And he shares it. It's something about sharing with everybody else that's so inspiring about Brad. You know, he's infectious.
Well, apparently it's National Dwarfism Awareness Month, according to the Little People of America. What is it, just medically real quick, and then we'll move on to something else. What's the deal with dwarfism? Is it, how common is it?
What's the deal with it,
Dr. Drew? WTF.
it's a common genetic issue. It's a series of different genetic errors that can result in this lack of lengthening of the bones of the limbs. It's called achondroplasia. We're actually having another woman on named Tanya Lee Davis, who apparently was, I didn't know this, but just by coincidence, it turns out to be the woman, she's a comedian also, that was Brad's inspiration.
Really?
Yeah. So we're going to, and she apparently also has a similar story. I don't know the details, where she, again, was able to turn this liability into an asset. And I'm just delighted to know that Brad is going to be excited to meet her.
Our last question, are little people as good as real people?
They're not real people, Kevin. Don't get confused.
How dare you? First of all, that was Bean. Second of all, they are real people.
Oh, they are. They are real people?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
That's an insulting question, Bean.
All right. That's going to be tonight with Dr. Drew, and that's going to be on his HLN show at 9. The other TV appearance that the doctor has coming up that I am fascinated to hear about is a special that you taped for MTV with your old friend Amber Portwood. Tell us about Amber Behind Bars.
Yes. Amber went to prison for her domestic violence problems, and then having been referred to drug court and then failing drug court, and then at drug court, when she was about to get busted the last time, said, I don't want treatment, send me to prison.
And she was a teen mom. That's how we know her, right?
She was one of the teen moms, the original teen moms at MTV, the original 16 and pregnant stories, and she was the one with Gary that was having all the problems with violence and just horrible behaviors. Well, lo and behold, turns out she's a severe drug addict. She, in prison, was telling me, I went to Indianapolis and drove 2 hours outside there to this prison and met with her and filmed a special where I interviewed her, and that's going to be on October 9th on MTV. And it was actually really interesting. She came absolutely clean about how severe her drug addiction was. She apparently was so bad that even when she was taking her urine toxicology screens for the court, she was sitting in the bathroom giving the urine specimen, ripping open fentanyl patches. These are patches that you put on your skin that are supposed to last 2 days. They'd knock you to your knees for 2 days. She was sucking the contents of the packages out. And she thought, oh my God. I'm going to die. Oh. I have to do something drastic. And she just threw herself at the mercy of the court.
That's why she said, send me to jail?
Send me to jail, because if I don't, I know I've failed treatment multiple times. I know I'm going to die. I've got to do something drastic. And she has been referred to this unbelievably high-quality program. I was stunned. at how good the program was. It was from 7 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night, intensive, intensive treatment. It's probably going to be an 18-month program for her. Mm. It could shorten her sentence, and we'll see. And she just copped to how self-centered and awful she was. It's an interesting interview. I think.
And what's that called?
What's the program called?
Yeah.
Amber Behind Bars.
Amber Behind Bars.
And that's going to be next Tuesday night on MTV. Hey, what was all the girls that were profiled on that 16 and Pregnant, all those original teen moms, how did they turn out? We know what happened to Amber. Did the other ones kind of turn it around after a teen pregnancy?
No. I mean, for the most part, the story, you know, the sort of the idea of the story was to show how teen moms' lives unravel by the stress of pregnancy. They don't finish their education. They're unable to get jobs. They live in poverty. The only one that really, I mean, Caitlin and Tyler are kind of coming out of it, yet they gave their kid up for adoption. Macy is okay. Macy's in pretty good shape. She has a lot of resources. And Farrah is okay, too. Those stories are sort of working out okay. But of these subsequent teen moms, again, there are several waves of the teen mom series.
Right.
Almost all those girls are really in difficult shape.
So would you say it's a negative to be a teen mom?
I'd say a negative.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Here's the recap on where you can get all your Dr. Drew. Loveline, Sunday through Thursday, 10 o'clock here on Good Old K-Rock. HLN show airs weeknights at 9. And look for our friends Brad Williams as a special guest tonight. And then, of course, don't miss Rehab airing Sundays at 8 on VH1, fantastic as well. Doc, thanks for the time, man. We enjoyed it. Ralph Garman, a little under the weather, says he'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, it's us, Kevin and Bean, filling in for the Showbiz Beat. Got some great, great news. TMZ broke last night. Kevin, this is something that's just, you're not even going to be able to get your head around this.
Please.
If Rage Against the Machine really gets back together to record new music.
This is true.
Well, it's something we've been wanting for a long time. The band, one of the most popular of all time here at K-Rock, broke up back in 2000. And if I recall correctly, wasn't their last album the covers album? The last one they made in 2000 was the covers album.
When was the Battle of Los Angeles?
When was that show? I think that was in 2000 also.
Okay.
So I think it's even been longer than 2000 since we've had actual new Rage Against the Machine music, although there's still a phenomenal draw on the road. TMZ caught up with Timmy C, the bass player for Rage Against the Machine. They asked him what's new with Rage, anything going on in terms of new music. And he said, according to TMZ, quote, in a very coy way, like he really wanted to tell us something but couldn't, Tim replied, maybe.
Oh, please.
So that does lead you to believe that at least it's a possibility. I mean, he didn't come out and say, no, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We'll never do anything again. But if Rage Against the Machine started working on new music and released it, oh, it would just blow our minds.
That would be great.
Be the best. They have been sorely, sorely missed. We'll keep you posted.
New York Post, page 6, is telling people that Rihanna and Chris Brown, let's just say it, are back together.
There have been rumors about this for months.
A lot of rumors, yeah. And apparently she just can't get over him. He just can't get over her. I hope that things go better. I don't have a lot of high hopes, but that seems to be the case.
I mean, look, you're never asking for it if you're the woman. There's no excuse for hitting a woman. And if Chris Brown does it again, it's still on him. But how stupid would she be to walk back into that situation? Like I said earlier today, it's like you got hit by a car once, and now you're insisting on standing out in the street waiting for it to happen again.
Yeah, don't.
You're tempting fate.
Tempt fate.
Look, I hope I'm wrong and that Chris Brown is a changed man and that he'll never do that again and he learned his lesson. But it certainly doesn't seem like he was very remorseful after the fact.
No, I really got the impression that he was like, yeah, I feel really bad, but she really provoked me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not an apology.
It's not. And it could be way worse. The next time.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So we are all nervous about seeing Rihanna with Chris Brown. It is not something that we're hoping for.
That's for sure.
Especially when I'm available, goddammit.
Yeah, well, you're a prize.
Liam Neeson is making the rounds. He is doing lots of promotion for his new film that opens tomorrow called Taken 2, which looks awesome, by the way. And God bless Liam for getting out there and getting it done. But you know what it's like on these movie premieres. You go everywhere. You just do everything you can to promote the movie. And a big
they want to talk to me, fine. I'll go on anything.
Well, he ended up on, I think it was on SportsCenter. He's on one of the ESPN shows. And he pops in to talk about Taken 2. And they take the advantage of talking to him about football. Now, apparently he went to the Jets game, the game that they just got shut out by the 49ers over the weekend.
Right.
He was at that game, not necessarily the biggest football fan in the world.
Can you even act like the Jets are good this year?
Okay, we better start again. Can we? Are we live?
We're live.
Oh, okay, I'll be very honest with you. Mike. It's
he wanted to start again.
Yes, he thought maybe they were taping,
and they were already on.
Yeah.
So then he says the S word, and they have to beep that.
It's only the second football game I've ever been at in my life. I still don't understand the rules.
But on Sunday, yes, I know the Jets got trounced, but it was great to just celebrate great athleticism in front of 82,000 people.
All right, now at that point,
change the subject.
Yes. You're done asking him about football, right?
Oh, wait.
Yeah, the Niners show most of that athleticism out there. Speaking of athleticism, they brought in Tim Tebow, a very athletic player. This gets criticized lots for his quarterback skills, but should Rex Ryan, in your opinion, make that move to Tim Tebow?
Now stop the tape. You've just learned that the guy is an actor. He's been to one football game in his life before this weekend. He's not going to have an opinion on the quarterback controversy.
Love it.
Right?
Love it.
You see, you're speaking ancient Arabic to me, buddy. I swear to you.
Really?
I just don't understand the game yet, Mike. I'm so sorry.
How many times can he say that?
I know.
And why does he have to say it so many times?
I feel so bad for him. He has a particular set of skills, but apparently breaking down football tape is not one of them. But I'm still excited about Taken 2. Celebrity birthdays today. Oscar-winning actors everywhere. Susan Sarandon, 66 today. I think she won for that Dead Man Walking, if I recall correctly. I think that's what she won her Academy Award for. Christoph Waltz, who won his Oscar for Inglourious Basterds, the Quentin Tarantino movie, will be seen in Django Unchained next for the same director. He turns 56 today. Russell Simmons, one of the great names in the music business, started the Def Jam label, famous rap producer, 55 years old today. Actor Liv Schreiber from Salt, X-Men's Origin, 45 years old today. Alicia Silverstone, she's currently on the Suburgatory TV show, maybe probably still best known for the Clueless, is 36 years old today. Rachel Lee Cook turns 33 today. And some sports birthdays for you. Justin Williams from the Los Angeles Kings. 31.
The Stanley Cup winning Los Angeles Kings.
Perhaps the last team that will ever win the Stanley Cup if they don't get the lockout settled. Jared Weaver, who might just win a Cy Young Award this year, pitcher for the Angels, is 30 today. And former Laker forward A.C. Green turns 49, and that's the show.
And now, a moment with Bean.
He's going to be in Stuart.
Wow. That was sweet.
That was a moment with Bean.
I'm a mess.
What are you doing Saturday?
I'm falling apart.
What am I doing? You want to join me at Santa Anita for a Steel Pulse concert?
What? Is that this Saturday?
That's this Saturday.
Tell me more.
Can I hear a little more of that? Very nice. That's going to be at 6 o'clock, a K-Rock concert party in the paddock. And I'm going to be there, and Stryker's going to be there. A bunch of the K-Rock DJs are going to be there. You can join us at Santa Anita this Saturday at noon for all the horse racing, and at 6 o'clock for the concert.
Let's get Brad Williams out there to jockey one of those horses.
That would be the best.
Throw him on the back of one of those horses, get him out there on the field.
Yes.
They're probably just looking for anyone small to put on a horse.
Sure.
They probably love that.
I'm sure they are. You get more details on that at krock.com. Ralph is out sick today. He promises he'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, we are filling in on the Showbiz Beat. Got a couple of TV notes for you this hour. First of all, apparently The Insider is still on the air.
Who knew?
That is one of those, I guess it's one of those entertainment type shows like Entertainment Tonight or Access Hollywood. But isn't The Insider the one that used to have the freak show?
It was the freak show, yeah.
It used to have like the world's smallest pregnant woman and stuff like that on it, right? Well, apparently they are getting ready to change their name. The geniuses at Yahoo and CBS Digital, about whom we know a little something, are in negotiations for a deal that will rename the show after their already existing Yahoo-owned gossip site. Now, that page on the internet, and now soon to be the name of the TV show, is OMG! Exclamation point now.
OMG now.
How did OMG I miss that?
Now.
It's already a page?
Apparently it's a thing.
Man, that happened fast. I just heard OMG today for the first time. What the hell?
It does seem like maybe it would have been a better name 10 years ago.
Right, what? I don't even understand that.
I guess you get to this Yahoo page on Netscape or something. That's the only way to get there. I don't know.
Oh, my God. It just gets better and better.
Or AOL.com. I don't know. OMG Now is the name of it. So that's TV thing one. Thing two, apparently there is a network called the Oxygen Network. Now, this is different from Oprah's network. Her O network is OWN, right?
Right.
Oxygen is something different.
Oxygen was before OWN.
But I thought that was also her.
Is it? Because this says the Oxygen cable network has started production on 5 new series for the coming year. So does Oxygen not exist anymore?
I don't know.
Because it says, it makes it sound like it does here.
No, it does. It does exist.
It's, so in other words, it's not the one that was taken over by Oprah.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Here's some of the shows that they're talking about doing. Tell me what your level of interest is in Funny Girls, about female comics and what they have to face in the male-dominated stand-up business.
That might be interesting.
That depends on how it's done.
Fat Girl Revenge.
Yes.
About formerly overweight women who get payback on the bullies who teased, taunted, humiliated, and hurt them before they lost weight. Each week, the series will show two cases of women getting even.
I was fat, now I'm all that.
No, I'm a no on that one.
I thought I was going to be a yes, but no.
Shotgun Weddings follows expectant parents determined to have the fairy tale wedding before their little bundle of joy arrives.
What, are they racing the clock?
Is before it 9 months? Shows too much?
It's 9 months and they're trying to get married?
Heart and Soul, a dating show based on one of those agencies that set up businesswomen with dates. And my favorite, Gorgeous and Guilty, is a spinoff of the series Snapped. It's about beautiful women who are involved in various crimes, from robbery to embezzlement to murder. Yeah, because you know me, I was in Jailbaits 14. So I am all about women in prison. So Gorgeous and Guilty. That's my show coming next year on the Oxygen Network.
According to the National Enquirer, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' divorce, their marriage had gone south long before they got divorced. Actually, their marriage had gone south long before they even separated, 6 months before they separated. I guess it's a little easier if you're a celebrity couple and he's always gone filming or something and you're not getting along.
Yeah.
It's a little easier that you don't feel the need you have to split up immediately. But apparently 6 months before they even split up, they had, the marriage had, quote, broken down irretrievably for a period of at least 6 months.
But as Lisa points out, why was Tom Cruise portrayed in all the media accounts of that divorce filing as shocked? He clearly wasn't shocked if they had been on the rocks for 6 months.
Unless they had some sort of agreement that when he was done with his next five movies, they would try again. And
then she didn't fly out.
That's... Remember, she didn't fly out for his birthday.
I have the answer.
What?
Scientology PR, pretty good. Pretty good PR.
Oh, you mean
to make us feel sorry for
they
him?
They spun it to make him look like the victim?
Yep. Poor Tom.
But why wouldn't she say, that's BS, he knew?
She's not talking to anybody.
Yeah.
She probably has a confidentiality. She's got lawyers following her and she's got Scientologists following her.
She doesn't have lawyers following her. She has snipers following her.
True.
And let me ask you this on the Scientology tip, and that is...
They love to sue, allegedly.
How is Tom Cruise able to keep in touch with his daughter, Suri, if she and her mother left the church, basically? Isn't that one of the deals? You're not supposed to communicate anymore with family members who leave.
That's a major deal.
Then how is he still spending all this time with the kid?
It doesn't count for a child. I'm sure there's an age of consent.
Oh, you don't know Scientology.
A four-year-old? A five-year-old?
Yep.
Nah.
Cut him out of your life. That's Scientology. So, it's not me. That's Scientology.
If he's Mr. Scientology, if he's top of the food chain, shouldn't he not be talking to his daughter anymore?
Yes.
That's a surprise to me, then, that he would go against the teachings of the church.
How would they do that, though, if it's the other parent that's making that happen, and then the child is penalized for that?
I don't know how any of it works, but it was just occurred to me when I was thinking about this earlier that he shouldn't be talking to her anymore if he's a true Scientologist.
There's a BBC documentary on YouTube that you can see, and the guy came over and talked to Scientology, and the guy got the head of special services or whatever for Scientology got in his face and made him so mad he lost it and started screaming. And then that guy defected, and like 7 years later, he explained to the reporter what he did, how he got in his face, how they're supposed to discredit him, and all of the stuff that they do. It's called The Secrets of Scientology. It's on YouTube. And it's frightening. Wow.
Well, I don't approve of that documentary at all.
I don't know what Kevin's talking about, but I think Bean brought that up. Somebody should start his cars.
No problems with the way things are going. Got a couple of 80s music bands in the news today, one of which no one is excited about. The Go-Go's are headed to Broadway. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Gwyneth Paltrow is in talks to produce a musical based on the career of the Go-Go's. The Go-Go's themselves have been asked to be involved and may write some new songs for the show. Of course, they were enormously popular back in the 80s. They were the first woman who played their own instruments to score a number one album on the charts. They had We Got the Beat and Vacation and a bunch of other songs that we played here on K-Rock. But I don't know that they have the appeal of an ABBA or somebody like that. I can't see anyone really caring about a musical.
You know, they've tried it with other bands, and ABBA's really the only one it's really worked with.
I mean, would you guys care?
No.
Yeah.
And the other band that's in the news, and I saved this story for now because I know the beautiful Kat Corbett is listening on her way in, and she will be moist when she gets here. The Replacements, one of the all-time alt-rock heroes of the 80s, are recording some new material for the first time in about 8 years together. RollingStone.com says that they have gotten together a few days in a Minneapolis studio last month to cut cover tunes for a limited edition 10-inch vinyl EP. let's make it more inconvenient for us.
A 10-inch vinyl EP.
Yes. They're only going to make 250 copies of it with this new music on it, and it is going to be auctioned off with the proceeds going to help out a former Replacements member, Slim Dunlap, who had a stroke in February, and it's to help him with his medical
bills.
That's
cool.
But so they're getting together. The remaining members are getting together, recording this EP, then they're going to auction off each copy to try to raise money for the dude. Now, as soon as that piece of vinyl is released, somebody's going to rip it, and you'll get those songs online.
Of course.
But if you want to own the original, it's going to cost you, but at least it's for a good cause.
Let's talk about alcohol, shall we? Nothing bad comes out of Germany. They have a company called G Spirits that has released a line of hard liquor that has been, quote, poured down the chests of glamour models before being bottled.
Glamour models.
Glamour models.
Oh, that's so not supermodels.
The difference of this vodka is it has touched human boobs. The limited edition vodka, rum, and whiskey is being sold for around $170 per bottle.
Don't we need
that's
proof?
So hot.
I'm saying we need a picture of the girl on it, because it's a big difference if I'm getting Kim Kardashian vodka or Khloe Kardashian vodka.
Right.
Yeah. I want to know which boob, and then I'm willing to pay or not pay accordingly.
And I want to know where else the wine went or whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
Besides the boobs.
Vodka, whiskey.
Before I drink it.
Was she standing when they poured it on her or laying down?
I've got a lot of questions.
Was she on a slant of some sort?
I don't have any of those questions for some reason.
How pathetic are guys that they would even consider?
I know.
Come on.
That's pathetic.
You know how pathetic they are.
It touched a boob. I'll buy it.
Sounds pretty outrageous.
Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah, exactly. Already bought some.
Today's celebrity birthdays, a lot of them in the sports world today for local sports fans, including former Laker forward A.C. Green turning 49 today. From your Los Angeles Kings, Kevin, Justin Williams is 31 today.
Stanley Cup winning Los Angeles Kings.
He's just probably sitting around just eating Cheetos right now watching TV because he's sure not playing hockey. Jared Weaver for the Angels is 30 today. Actresses Alicia Silverstone and Rachel Lee Cook both celebrate birthdays today, as does rap producer Russell Simmons. He's 55. And a couple of Oscar winners. Susan Sarandon is 66 today. Actor Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds is 56. And that's the Showbiz Beat.
All right. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have a great show for you. Cousin Sal will take a look at the NFL picks. We have Movie Beat because it's Friday. Ralph will be back. We have a brand new internet roundup for you. And in the 7 o'clock hour, be sure and check out at krock.com if you are not, if you don't have tickets. Our Breakfast with the Black Keys.
Yay!
At 7 a.m. You can see it live at krock.com. And that's tomorrow.